Today on Real Radio.
Being a prophet of God, he had an incredible calling. You know what? A prophet, in my opinion, is the highest calling that God had in the Old Testament for any believer, was a prophet of God. And you know what? You are not permitted to be yourself in many ways.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Chapter 16 is where David, who eventually became King David, is brought into this story for the very first time. Because King Saul disobeyed the Lord's instructions, he quickly fell out of God's favor. So the Almighty sent Samuel to find a man that would be one after God's own heart. Isn't that a great phrase? Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. In a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 16, it's a study called When God Comes Upon a Man.
It all begins with David. He's a shepherd. And the Bible says in Jeremiah 3 verse 14, "Return, O backsliding children, says the Lord, for I am married to you." Oh, I would mark that. Anybody in here backslidden? God says, "I'm married to you." That's why you're so miserable. I don't want to go off the course too far, but hey, are you backslidden? You're miserable. You want to know why you're miserable? Because God's married or has you espoused to a son. The Bible says that the father's married to Israel and Jesus is engaged to the church. And if you understand Jewish background, to be married or engaged is about the same power. It's about the same thing. In fact, if you were engaged, you had to write a letter of divorcement to break the engagement. That's how engaged you are in Israel. So the son is engaged to the church. The father is married to Israel. But just keep that in mind. If you're backslidden, you're miserable. I love when you see a backslidden Christian. How you doing? All right. They're miserable. It's because they have the hand of God on them. He's calling them back. And so the scripture says in Jeremiah 3:15, he says, "I will give you shepherds," that's the word pastor, "according to my heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding." This is God's will for his people, that they be fed. Now here's the deal. When God comes upon a man, he uses really anyone whose hearts are open toward him. And you say, yeah, but David was a shepherd. I mean, it's great. Isn't it neat, Jack, how he was a shepherd, and then he's going to be kind of like the pastor over Israel? Well, wait a minute. Before he was ever a pastor over Israel, he was a shepherd. You say, well, that's what I'm saying. Wait a minute. A shepherd in Israel was somebody refused, rejected, somebody who smelled, frankly. Somebody had a very low position in the economy there. Somebody who was nobody was a shepherd. I mean, think about it. In the spiritual genealogy, so to speak, as I'm a pastor, those who have come before me are a bunch of smelly, dirty, in fact, uneducated shepherds of the field. Because shepherds were not in school. They were on the land. They were with the animals. They had one job. And that was to tend and to feed the sheep. Saul was the people's choice for king, as we've said earlier. David is God's choice. What's dangerous about this is Saul, in my opinion, is a perfect example of when somebody enters into ministry by assumption. It's a very, very prevalent thing. Ministry by assumption. Well, you know what? Golly, I haven't been able to find a job. The Lord must be calling me into the ministry. The ministry is for people who can't find a job anywhere else. That's what a lot of people think. Well, and I, you know what? I probably hear this seriously a couple times a month. I'll know what's going on in somebody's life. They haven't had a job in a couple of months or whatever, or a year. And then they want to meet because God's calling them into the ministry. I'm not putting that down. I'm just saying, wait a minute. What's driving this inquiry? That's not for me to know. It's for you to find out and for you to research for your own life before the Lord. But ministry by assumption? Yeah, it's very common. It's a very dangerous thing. In John chapter 21, verse 16, Jesus set the job descriptions of a pastor, of David, of those who would follow. He said to Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to Jesus, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." Verse 17, Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Feeding and tending is the work of a pastor. You're either Saul-hearted or David-hearted in the work of the Lord. See, what do you mean by that? I think Saul-hearted people in ministry are people who I believe are in a position, and they think that the people that attend the church are their servants. Because remember what it said about Saul? When Samuel prophesied about Saul, he told the people, "This guy that you've picked, your children are going to be servitude to him. This king that you guys picked, he's going to take all of your money. This king that you picked, he's going to be exalted and you're going to be subterranean. He's going to exalt himself at your expense." Remember, Samuel said, "This king that you've picked, your children will run in front of him, announcing that the king is coming, and they'll run behind him, picking up all of his garbage that he leaves behind." Saul-hearted versus David-hearted. It's a big difference. What do you know? You know what? I believe this. God's sheep will know the difference. I really do. I think that as David is introduced here and Saul from here on out, you're going to see a constant warring of Saul against David. But was Saul really attacking David? No, Saul is attacking the will of God. He's envious. He's selfish. He's going to put down David. He's going to attack him. He's going to discredit him. He's going to lie about him, make up stories. Why? God has called David to be the pastor of Israel, and Saul had pastor envy. It's a very sad thing. But I believe the sheep can tell. I think one of the great things, and I say this extremely rarely here, but I just think it's so important. I think in light of this chapter and the following chapters, I think we ought to pray for pastors. Now, I know there's some who visit on Wednesday nights, but you know what? When you go back to your church, you need to pray for your pastor. And here's the deal. If you're not sure if your pastor at your church is of God or not, then you better pray for him. You better pray him right out of the ministry if he's not from God. Maybe he needs an encouragement to go be an insurance salesman or some other thing. Maybe he's supposed to do that. Maybe he's not called. He just grew up in a long line of preachers. My grandpa was a preacher. My dad was a preacher, so I'll be a preacher. Or if your pastor is called, pray for him. Because if he's called by God, then guess what? Satan hates his guts. And what did Jesus say? What does the scripture say? "Smite the shepherd and the sheep will scatter." And you hear all these things. And you can buy books, and the world loves it when a pastor falls down. And when it's an ungodly scenario, it's bad enough. You know what I mean? When there's some charlatan who falls down, it's bad enough. When you see stuff on TV like we saw with Diane Sawyer and this stuff with Robert Tilton, who his friend confessed that Tilton was a scam artist, and they learned how to do it for years. But the guy's back on TV again. Bilking people of their millions. An admitted farce. Yet, you know, the guy falls down and drags a bunch of innocent people with him. Horrible. But how bad is it when a man of God falls down? How much more horrible? No, God wants to bless his people, and God does his business right. So much so, in verses 1 through 3, we see this. When God comes upon a man, it's because God knows everything. I love it. He says to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? Can you hear God? Samuel, what are you whining about? I've rejected this guy. See, and I've rejected him from reigning over Israel. Samuel, what are you crying about? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse. You're going to Bethlehem. Man, do you hear that rebuke from the Lord? Samuel. Now listen, Samuel's a prophet of God. Being a prophet of God, he had an incredible calling. You know what? A prophet, in my opinion, is the highest calling that God had in the Old Testament for any believer, was a prophet of God. And you know what? You are not permitted to be yourself in many ways. Example, Isaiah. Oh, Isaiah was an amazing guy. He was born with the silver spoon in his mouth. Isaiah came from a wealthy home, and he was best friends with the king. He lived in the king's palace. He had everything set. Uzziah, best bud. But man, God begins to speak to Isaiah. And being a prophet of God, God says to Isaiah, okay, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this. And some of those things were quite embarrassing deals. As a prophet of God, some of them were called to act out prophecies. Isaiah, take your clothes off and streak through town. See, God wouldn't say that. He's told his prophet, take your clothes off and run through town naked. And when somebody says, what are you doing, Isaiah? This is what's going to happen to you because you guys have rejected the Lord. Your shame shall be uncovered. God, is this message over yet? Can you imagine? Okay, Isaiah, it worked really good. Now do a second service. Think about it. Okay, now you streak from town from north to south. Now do it from east to west. And then the third service, do it catacorner, right through the middle of the Ezekiel. God speaks through the prophet Ezekiel to the people in amazing ways, crazy things. God says, all right, Ezekiel, here's the deal. I want you to make your food. I want you to cook your food. And I want you to use human dung as fuel for your food. And it's hilarious. Ezekiel says, that's it. God, I followed you in every one of these areas, but this one I'm not going to do. And God says, okay, use animal dung. Use fertilizer instead. It was a hilarious story. You got to read it. See, why is he doing that? God is speaking a picture to the people to get it graphically put into their minds. This is what I'm saying. This is what I'm telling you. God says to Samuel, what are you crying for? Samuel, I've rejected Saul as king. What a horrible and sad moment. In verse 1, we learn this, that Samuel's heart, and can you put your heart, my heart, our hearts are to be in line with God's heart. May we pray as a family, as a person, as a church, God, the things that concern your heart, may they be our heart's concern. What concerns you in heaven, God, let that be what concerns us here at Calvary. And the number one thing is, what's best for the people? What's God wanting to do with the church? Not what can a few of us pull off and scam and skim. Very, very important. So the Lord rebukes Samuel and basically really tells him, you need to think how I think. In 1 Samuel 13, verse 13, it says, and Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandments of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever over Israel, but now your kingdom shall not continue. Isn't this horrible words? It's tragic. But he brought it on himself. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over the people Israel, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you, Saul. And so Samuel now is challenged by God. You better have a heart that's right. Now, from this moment on, you're going to start seeing a movement of God, listen, to empower David. In verse 2, we learn this, that Samuel was weakened by Saul's ministry. Jot that down. weakened by Saul's ministry. So why do I want you to jot it down? Because listen, I don't know all of you in here, but you know what? I don't know what your story is, but I know what my story is. And I only know my story. And when I look at this, when Samuel says this about Saul in verse 2, he says, how can I go, God? How can I do this? If Saul hears it, he'll kill me. Stop right there. Samuel's the prophet of God. Saul is the rejected king. But look how Saul's power and influence has affected Samuel. It's weakened him. Are you with me? Let me bring it closer to home for some of you. Have you been under a ministry, or have you been involved in a Christian work at some point in time of your life, and that ministry has formed your life? And if you know what I'm talking about, a ministry takes on the personality of the shepherd. It's true. And by the way, if they have a staff, that should be the, you should be able to talk to any staff member and get the heart of that pastor. That's the way it should be. Now listen, if things are right, and I think about how I was spiritually raised, but perhaps for some people, you are bruised, battered, and beaten. Like Samuel, who is God's man, yet he's been brought under a heavy-handed rule of a wacko guy whose temper and whose flesh runs his life. And not only did Saul's temper run his life, but it ran the lives of others around him. And they were fearful of him. Remember a couple chapters ago, he was going to kill his own son for eating honey on the day that Saul says, nobody eats today. And Jonathan wasn't even around town. He wasn't even there to hear it. Yet he eats some honey that day and he gets in trouble. And Saul says, kill him. I don't care if he's my own son. Kill him. What a nut. He's whacked out. His emotions are driving him. He wasn't fit to be king from the very start. But yet when people are in position who have gotten there by assumption, they think people have been gathered around them to be their servants, and the minister winds up being ministered to by all the people. That's pathetic. Samuel was weakened by Saul's influence. And that's a terrible thing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? 2 Corinthians 13:6 says, but I trust, Paul is saying, but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. When's the last time you took inventory of who you are in Christ? We all need to do it. In light of the word, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Examine yourself. Saul had the Old Testament scriptures, much of them. He had the law of God. But I think in his position, in his power, he's the king. I must have God's favor. Can you imagine? Hey, there's people coming to church. Must be doing the right thing. That's evil. God's sheep gather around his word. God blesses his word. And to begin to assume that God is blessing because of the committee or because of the staff or because of being the pastor or the whatever, you're ministering by assumption. Remember, he says, my word shall not return unto me void. David is a very young man at this point. Saul is middle-aged. He's in power, and yet he does not have the power of God. That's all going to be coming upon David. Very important. Listen to this godly example of Paul the Apostle in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. He says, for do I now seek the favor of men, Paul says, or of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still desired to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Is the ministry living for people, or is it living for God? It's to be for God. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. And you see Samuel. See what's happening to him? Samuel is like recoiling back. What's he afraid of? Saul's going to go mad. He's going to kill me. Samuel was a man of faith. And I believe at this point, insecurity is creeping into Samuel's life. You know what? Whenever there's fear dominating your life, you will be insecure. Does that ring true? Rings true to me. When there's fear in my life, insecurity creeps in. When you're in a relationship and you're insecure, what's happening? You're fearful about something. Samuel is God's man, but because he's been influenced by Saul, and Saul is going to throw down his toys, pick up a sword, and lop off Samuel's head if he doesn't do the right dance and sing the right tune, this is what Samuel's afraid of that Saul's going to do, that he says, God, he's going to kill me if he hears about this. Have you ever been around somebody that's what you're afraid of? Oh my gosh, if they even hear such a thing, they're going to go off and go nuts. That's the flesh. Instantly. The flesh is a weird thing in the service of God. Let me say this, and I hope you've never heard this from me. I can't remember if I've ever said it. If I ever say it, will you come up and slap me in the face? And it's this. Your attitude about ministry is all important, but how do you have a right attitude? By knowing if you're called to the ministry or not. God comes upon the men and women that he calls, but listen, if you're called, here's the deal. You won't be complaining about your service to God. And I can't imagine if you ever hear me saying, well, you know what, the ministry's so hard. It's so tough. Whew! Boy! You know, it's really, really difficult. And I would encourage you not to get into it, man. You know, it's so hard. And we're really carrying a big load for all of you. Hope you appreciate it. Boy, ministry's tough. You know what? That's sick.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called When God Comes Upon a Man. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 16, where David is brought into the picture, and that he was to be anointed as king. We'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse account through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been keeping your ear to the ground, so to speak, on what's happening in the world these days, you're probably wondering if it all correlates with the last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. Well, that's exactly why Pastor Jack has delivered a message called What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? We're now offering it on DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Now, when we say offering, that's exactly what we mean. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Again, the title of Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On and What Can You Do About It? Call, click, or write to send your tax-deductible contribution. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for the 2-DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On, and What Can You Do About It? And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.